Welcome to the CenturyLink Labs podcast with your host, Lucas Carlson. From Docker and Linux containers to programming languages and web frameworks, we interview technology and thought leaders around the world every week. This week's interview is brought to you by CenturyLink Cloud, the world's fastest self-service enterprise-grade cloud.
Hello, this is Lucas Carlson from CenturyLink Labs and the CenturyLink Labs podcast. This week, we're talking to Chad Keck, founder and CEO of Promoter.io. Now, Chad and Promoter are very, very interesting, and they're one of the people that we use as one of the services behind CenturyLink Labs. And what they do is around a technology called Net Promoter Score. I'm a big fan of Net Promoter Score. You might have heard of it if you've ever had AT&T service. As soon as you walk out of the service, you get a text and they ask you how well they did. That's Net Promoter Score. Apple does Net Promoter Score. And at AppFog, the company that I started before coming to CenturyLink, we did lots and lots of NPS. And in fact, Chad Keck worked for me and ran NPS for us. He did this all manually. He did the Net Promoter Score emails where he asks people a simple question that he'll get into. And he gathered all the feedback manually for me. That was one of the many things he did for me at AppFog. And it was super, super helpful, super useful. We grew from nothing to 100,000 developers in just a few years. And I think Net Promoter Score was a big part of that. And now I'm incorporating Net Promoter Score into CenturyLink Labs. So if you're part of the mailing list, you might have received an email from me asking how much you liked the mailing list and how much you would be interested in recommending it to friends. And so that's actually Chad's startup, Promoter.io. And I thought I would take this episode to talk with Chad and to say, how is he doing this? What is it that he does? And how it can help businesses. So, Chad, welcome. Can you tell us about yourself?
Yes, absolutely. Thanks for having me today. Excited to be here. So again, yeah, my name's Chad Keck. I'm the co-founder and CEO of Promoter.io. And my background is I'm a technologist and an entrepreneur at heart. I've spent most of my career over the last, I would say, 7 to 8 years in the product development side around some higher level technologies, obviously where CenturyLink plays today, kind of in the cloud technology space with the advent of infrastructure and platform level services from providers like Rackspace, where I spent about 5 years. I left Rackspace a while back and joined HP to help them launch HP Cloud Services and get those guys centralized on OpenStack. And after that, I came across a little company at the time called PHP Fog, which I was very excited about, and ended up joining you and many other sharp folks over at PHP Fog and what ultimately became AppFog.
Great. So you have a really interesting background. You've done a lot of stuff with some really cool companies. How did you find out about Net Promoter Score, and what is Net Promoter Score?
Sure. So we'll start at the beginning. The Net Promoter Score, or otherwise known as NPS, is a methodology for measuring essentially customer loyalty and true customer sentiment. How strongly do people feel about your particular brand or service, and are they likely or willing to recommend that to others? It is something that has been kind of in the industry or in the market for about a decade now, used prevalently by Fortune 500 companies, and we're starting to see that trickle down into more small and medium-sized businesses, particularly in the startup space, where the type of actionable and concise feedback that you can collect from this type of customer engagement process is even more useful. But you mentioned a few of the companies that have leveraged NPS to significant success. Over again the last decade, companies like Apple, Neiman Marcus, Rackspace, Southwest Airlines, Zappos, USAA, these are all big kind of Net Promoter centric companies that use it as one of their core metrics in their toolbox. And I became familiar with Net Promoter again at Rackspace, which was one of the I would say earlier pioneers of this methodology. Rackspace used this prevalently to stay on top of what was really driving customers to want to recommend their brand. Rackspace was centered around a core focus of fanatical support, what was the main differentiator that they promised, something that made them stand out from the rest of the industry. And due to what you could call the world-class customer experience delivered through fanatical support that resonated with customers, helped Rackspace grow significantly through a lot of recommendations and word-of-mouth referrals from existing businesses. And again, that is ultimately the goal of what we want to measure with something like NPS, finding out who in your customer base are true brand advocates, what makes them feel that way, and how we can spread this out to more and more of your customers and ultimately create a strong feedback and referral loop, if you will.
Got it. So with NPS, there's only one question, is that right?
Yes. Well, there's one core question, and then there's a follow-up, which is where the bulk of the value comes from.
And what's the core question?
Yeah, so this is something that people, if they don't know what Net Promoter is, you're probably familiar with the question, from a consumer's perspective, receiving this at some point. It's, how likely are you to recommend our brand, our service, or our product to a friend or colleague? And that question is rated on a 0 to 10 scale. So what that helps a company do is define who your promoters are. Again, these are the people we talked about as being your brand advocates, people who are willing or may already be recommending your brand to others, the people that score you 9s and 10s, kind of on the far right end of the scale. They're your fanboys, your loyalist advocates. People that score you between 7s and 8s, these are your passives. They're called that because they're what's called generally passively satisfied customers. They're neither here nor there, people that don't hate or necessarily love your brand, highly susceptible to competition. We help you identify that group. And then the last group, people who score you between 0 and a 6, these are your detractors. Some people call them biz crushers, if you will. They're people who might be negatively spreading negative word of mouth about your brand or service. And even if they aren't, they have a very high propensity to churn within a short period of time. So there is, in addition to finding out who your most loyal customers are and driving new recommendations and referrals with your promoters group, there is a predictive analytics nature to Net Promoter, which can really help you get ahead of churn proactively.
So that's interesting. So, like, if somebody scored an 8, that wouldn't be good enough in Net Promoter score?
It's okay, but it's not good enough. Again, satisfied customers, they're okay to have, but remember, the next time the next best sale or the next shiny object comes along, they can be lured away quite easily. So what you want to do, especially with that group, people who fall in the 7s and 8s, is find out, what's the low-hanging fruit? What are the one or two kind of core things that are keeping them from wanting to recommend your brand? Generally, people that fall in that category are very easy to convert into kind of brand promoters and advocates. So through what we offer and through using Net Promoter as a process within your organization, we can help you identify that and help you build a much stronger base of loyal customers who not only spend more, stay longer, are likely and willing to recommend your brand to others, but they also, again, are more inherently loyal to your brand. So if someone comes along and with a similar service and offers just a little bit better price, that's not going to be enough to tempt them away.
Got it. And so what is the score range? What's the worst score you can get, and what's the best score you can get?
So as the name implies, it's a true net score. So the way the Net Promoter score is derived for a company is taking the percentage of your promoters, and we subtract the percentage of detractors. So essentially, your score can fall anywhere on a 200-point scale from negative 100 all the way to positive 100. The category or group between negative 100 to zero, we call it internally here kind of the danger zone. A lot of companies start in this spectrum, which is okay as long as you're starting to move in the right direction. A score between 0 and positive 50 is considered good. The average score for U.S. companies in 2013 was somewhere in the mid-20 range, just for reference sake. It's very hard to achieve a very high Net Promoter score because you have to subtract all that negative word-of-mouth attention out of your score. So 0 to 50 is considered good. 50 to 75 is considered an excellent score. And 75 and above is considered world-class, which not many companies achieve. And and even less consistently stay there. A couple of examples of world-class Net Promoter companies are Zappos, USAA, I believe Nordstrom's as well.
Interesting. Yeah, we ran Net Promoter Score for CenturyLink Labs, and our first version of it, we've gotten a 25 Net Promoter Score, so it's right in the middle, right where it kind of where the average is. But I'm hoping that we can bring that up. So, how does NPS help build a community?
So again, essentially, what the focus of Net Promoter is identifying what's resonating the most with your customers, what is causing, and it may not be just customers, it may be people in a community like you mentioned, might be people that are part of an organization, just users of a service. It can be any number of applications where you can measure NPS, because kind of things across the board, far beyond just business services, are spread through recommendations and word of mouth. So we want to find out what's resonating with people, what's making them feel loyal, what's making them want to recommend your product or service. And then kind of the last step is not just identifying who is willing to recommend your service. We know from a lot of research, and some of this goes well beyond Net Promoter itself, just into customer recommendation and customer referral behavior in general. But people who state that they're willing to recommend a brand, product, service, organization, community, whatever it may be, only a small percentage of them actually do it on a regular basis without needing any engagement. So once we know what's working, what resonates, we want to apply that to the product or service to try and encourage more promoters. And then as we find out who our promoters are on a continuous basis, we want to have a process for engaging those promoters, giving them an ask to recommend or refer new people into the community, to a product, to a service, or making it very easy for them to do so.
Interesting. So the Net Promoter Score essentially is a way to score something that we all know about kind of intrinsically, which is how viral is what you're doing. You know, it's kind of, we all hope that we build products and services that are viral, but Net Promoter Score is a way to actually track and measure that instead of just hoping or wondering if you're having success. And then the actual process of collecting Net Promoter Scores, you can actually use that to engage people to actually do those recommendations, not just measuring. It's like it's like physics, quantum physics, where the actual measurement process affects the outcome. You're actually encouraging people to start recommending as well.
Yeah, so the process of measuring your score is great from a benchmark perspective. Helps you set a baseline, helps you understand whether you're improving or, you know, or backsliding kind of on a rolling basis. But that's just, you know, for classification purposes. The art and the value from Net Promoter is in actually engaging and having deep, meaningful conversations with your customers. Again, identifying the root cause of what's making a customer feel that way, and ultimately figuring out how you can apply what you're hearing from that promoters group to everybody else who's a customer or an adopter of the service or part of that community, in hopes of not only driving more referrals and recommendations, but also attracting people who find what your promoters already find valuable. Attracting those types of customer profiles or user profiles from the very beginning.
Yeah, this is actually my favorite part of doing NPS is the follow-ups. I often ask people in a mailing list, what do they think about a certain idea, or how do they feel about the mailing list? Is it going well? And usually I don't get a great response rate. People don't usually follow up to those general asks, but what I find with these NPS surveys is that it's kind of a foot in the door to create these relationships with people one-on-one. It's a way to go from a whole bunch of people that you don't know into groups of people that you start to get to know intimately, and I've found so many business opportunities, so many product directions, so much opportunity comes just from kind of getting your foot in the door, saying, would you be likely to recommend us? That one question, which could be easy to answer, can lead you to, the follow-up to that question can lead you down a rabbit hole, and you learn so much that you wouldn't know otherwise, and I just find that immensely satisfying, and like the best part for me is the follow-ups. So what use cases make most sense for a Net Promoter Score? What kind of products and services could Net Promoter Score be applied to?
Well, the greatest thing, and we hit on this just a few minutes ago, is it applies to practically everything. People, you know, can relate to this in many ways. All products, all services, all communities, all, you know, you can look at it down to things like TV shows or your doctor, you know, what contractor you use, what mailing lists you're a part of, for example. It has very broad appeal and direct benefit to any number of applications, which is great. Again, it's boiling down to how people emotionally feel about the value that you're delivering them, and whether or not they're likely to recommend, and then if they will or not, based on some engagement from your end.
Very cool. So when you were doing Net Promoter Score for me at AppFog, it was a very manual process. You used one of our like MailChimp or something like that, and then you would have to go and collect all of that data, every single response, put it into a spreadsheet, run the calculations, do all of that manually, then do the follow-ups all manually yourself as well. And that, sure. How long did that take you just with AppFog and 100,000 people?
I would say, you know, it depends on the frequency that you're polling, but ideally this is something that's done continuously in an organization, whether it's every month or sometimes down to every week or every day. So you're sampling and getting a good influx of continuous data to iterate from and to engage customers with. So for us, it probably took tens of hours a week, if not more.
Wow, sounds like a full-time job.
Yeah, essentially. And most of this was not in the Net Promoter process itself. A lot of this was dealing just with the tooling that we had to do to pull a process together around it. And this is, of course, where the motivation for Promoter.io came from. There was no easy-to-use software platform, SaaS or otherwise, to help small to medium businesses and even some larger organizations effectively implement a Net Promoter process without having to do one of two things. Either hire full-time staff, and the larger the organization, the more, you know, full-time staff you have to have devoted to this, or go to a enterprise consulting firm who have some software tooling around it, but there's a lot of consulting and other things that come along with that, and you're looking at six-figure annual costs just to do something like Net Promoter, which has significant value to an organization. You know, I won't say that it's not worth it, but there's just a better way to do it, and that's what we're hoping to bring to companies and organizations alike today. So streamlining that whole process, you know, we're not a surveying platform. We're built for one purpose alone. You come in, you don't need to be an expert in Net Promoter. You don't need to have read the books. You don't need to be certified. We walk you through that process, tell you exactly how to get started, what to do every single step of the way, and how to ultimately start driving growth in your business from day one.
Very cool. So I can imagine that for a large company like the bigger Fortune 500s, this could be teams of dozens, 50, 100 people running this behind the scenes. So what does Promoter.io do?
Yeah, so you're talking for some companies, you know, multi-million dollar budgets, and others are kind of on the other end of the spectrum, all the way down to companies who may be just, you know, one, two, three people that don't have the time to dedicate to that. It can, without a product like Promoter.io, it can be really straining on an organization, regardless of the benefit. So what we've done, again, is we've built a platform that helps you easily facilitate the front-end surveys to your customers. Again, we're based solely on Net Promoter, so when you use our product, we help you build a nice, clean, custom survey with your kind of branding front and center, and we ask two questions. We talked about the first one already, which is what's called the ultimate question in the NPS world. How likely are you to recommend our brand, our product, our service to a friend or colleague? And then we follow that up with a second very targeted question, and I hinted at this earlier. This is where the bulk of the value comes from. this question is also phrased very carefully, both to drive the most concise and actionable feedback out of the question and the most engagement. And that question is, what is the most important reason for your score? From that question, this is where we kind of get into the analytics, and we can help you derive what trends are driving the bulk of your score, what trends are driving the bulk of your revenue growth or the bulk of your churn, a lot of different factors on the data. And then from there, with all within the Promoter.io app, we help you follow up and do the closed loop process, which is you've run a survey, you've sent one of your customers a survey, they've responded, they've given you a score, they've given you open-ended feedback. Now you need to turn around and directly follow up with that customer one more time, whether you're thanking a promoter for their feedback and giving them an ask for a referral or recommendation, maybe you're telling them about a referral program or giving them a form where they can go submit some friends or other people or email off a special offer you have, or whether you're following up with a detractor, apologizing for their issue. Maybe you've resolved it already and you're just letting them know, or you're letting them know that someone from your team is going to be reaching out to them in the next 24 to 48 hours. You've got to have that direct kind of follow-up interaction. And instead of, like you mentioned before, running a survey through a tool like SurveyMonkey or SurveyGizmo or any of these other platforms that aren't geared for NPS and just getting a dump of data into an Excel file, and then having to email customers one by one, we wanted to take all the time that was involved in stitching different tools together that weren't built for the job and get that out of the way so you could focus on what matters the most, which is just that direct one-on-one engagement with the customers and learning ultimately what drives promoters and what drives detractors and being able to solve for it.
Got it. So where do most implementations of NPS go wrong?
There's a couple different things that we see. I'll say the first one that's most common is people hear about what Net Promoter is, they hear about NPS, this is how you do it, it's based on kind of a single question. So people say, great, we want to measure our Net Promoter score, we want to know what it's at, so just add it to our existing survey. And first and foremost, that's one of the pretty much the worst thing you can do initially. The problem with traditional customer engagement through surveys, whether it's a satisfaction survey, transactional survey after, you know, some key event in your business, like a purchase or a support interaction, or just market research, is nobody pays attention to these things anymore, and the engagement levels are going even lower each year. I believe in 2013, the average response rate to most customer surveys was 2.7%. So what you're looking at is, even if you had some extremely concise survey with 50 questions, and you had 2.7% of people answer that, the data is pretty much useless to begin with. Net Promoter, kind of in its purest form, should be asked by itself, ultimately to drive the highest engagement possible. You need the most data possible to make the best decisions. And the more open-ended feedback that you can get just gives you, you know, countless more data points to act on.
So that makes sense. I've seen Net Promoter Score surveys where it feels like there's 5 pages of 20 questions each page where they're trying to pick apart what exactly do you mean. And it seems like with Promoter.io, it's just one question, and it's a 1 to 10, and you know, there's an optional follow-up. What's the difference? Why, you know, I can understand why you would want to ask, you know, 100 follow-up questions mm-hmm. within the survey itself. Why isn't that a good idea?
Well, again, the simple answer is because nobody will do it. Even if they're the best questions, which unfortunately most of the time they're not. You know, nothing against tools like SurveyGizmo that do have great applications. The problem is most people, since you go in there and you define your own questions, you decide what to ask. Most people don't know what questions are actually meaningful, what leads to meaningful data that you can quantitatively look at to make decisions based on. But you know, let's throw all that aside. Even if you could ask the best questions in the world that actually had some direct correlation to customer behavior post-survey, the biggest problem is, again, just nobody answers it. The second thing to that is what most people who are running surveys, traditional surveys, are trying to achieve out of all those additional questions almost always get answered in the follow-up question that we ask following the likelihood to recommend question. So I mentioned before, we ask kind of the Net Promoter ultimate question, and then we follow that up with what is the most important reason for your score. We have almost a 70, somewhere between a 70 and 80% response rate to that open-ended question, which is actually optional. But the vast majority of people answer it, one, because the survey is incredibly short, and two, because kind of we're phrasing the initial question invokes more of a emotional response. You're asking someone if they're willing to recommend a product or service, not if they're personally satisfied, but would they put their name on the line? And then you're trying to drill down to the root cause. So people are generally more than happy and willing to dig in on what that means. And even if they have a laundry list of things they'd like to talk about, the only thing that's really useful, at least in this context, is what's influencing that score. You know, everything else, people may give you a lot of additional insight as well. But you know, there's only so much you can do as an organization, so you need to learn to kind of focus. That's why we call it actionable insights.
I see. So it's kind of like instead of guessing and saying, well, is it this thing that you did that score for? Is it that thing? Is it this other thing? Just simply asking. And actually, it makes a lot of sense to me because when I see those long surveys, I'm always feeling overwhelmed and like, oh boy, here we go. This will take 15, 20 minutes. But the way that Promoter.io does it, it feels you almost want to fill in the box just because you're thankful that the survey was as short as it was, and it's you actually are more excited to give honest feedback instead of feeling like it's a big chore and a big hassle.
Exactly. You hit on a few great points there. It's so, one, you know, Net Promoter from an organization's perspective is a very simple process. It's very easy to implement and share with your employees and kind of leadership, and everyone understands how it works because there's not a whole lot of moving parts. From a customer's perspective, it's also a great experience for them. I think surveys more and more these days are very abrasive to customers. Most of the time they see an email with a survey link, they don't even want to click off to it because they know or they're afraid they're going to land on a page with 10 or 20 questions and they just don't want to deal with it, so it goes straight to the trash. We actually kind of embed the initial question directly in the email survey that goes out, so they don't even have to link off somewhere else before they see that. But the last point about what you mentioned with the types of questions that people ask is you kind of hit the nail on the head there. Existing surveys try to frame a lot of questions and frame the problems for people, typically in the form of multiple choice questions. So you're giving people the choice of options that you think are the answers, and none of those may relate to the customer at all. So not only are you getting typically just bits and pieces of data that may not be enough to make valid decisions on, it could be totally wrong just because you didn't give them the opportunity to directly tell you how they felt or what the reason was. And then you tend to see at the end of a lot of these longer surveys, you know, kind of an open-ended question, you know, any other comments, anything else you'd like to tell us? And by time people, if they even make it through, that's the last thing they feel like answering.
Yeah, so true. So what's the hardest part about doing NPS?
I would say it's you know, that's a great question. It depends on the organization. A lot of times it's just getting people in the initial process of reaching out to their customers and collecting this feedback and then and doing the follow-ups. We talk to a lot of people about NPS. People watching this video may hear about this and decide, you know, this is something great to do. We can kind of see the value. It's just getting started. You know, where do we start? A lot of people kind of overanalyze. Our general recommendation is take a small segment, even if it's something as small as 1/10 of your customers, and if this is the first time you want to do this, run a small kind of pilot or segment survey, get a feel for the type of data and feedback that you're going to get and how it can be applied. Like many things, there's no perfect time or perfect way to start, but the data that you get will be incredibly valuable from day one. And I'd say kind of the second thing is ensuring that people are on board and they understand the value of the closed loop process or the follow-up process. So again, as you send out a survey and as you collect a response, the goal and what ends up driving the increase in recommendations and referrals, or on the flip side, reduction in churn, is making sure you're having those direct follow-up conversations with those customers. Most of the time, you don't go down a deep rabbit hole, but some customers you might, as you mentioned earlier. But what that leads to is typically some of the best insight you'll ever get.
Interesting. Very fascinating. So one of the things that I learned while running NPS on Promoter.io for CenturyLink Labs was there seems to be an art to the whole follow-up process, the response to why did you give us that score. You know, you make some recommendations about how exactly you should do the wording, what exactly should you say, and you're very specific about that wording. Can you talk about why that is and what that does?
Sure, yeah. So there's not necessarily one right way to do this. There's a couple of things that we've seen work well, not only in my experience with Net Promoter at AppFlog and Rackspace previously, but you know, we've now facilitated nearly 2 million surveys for our customers. And first, I would say the art of the follow-up is making sure you're doing it in some form or other, versus you know, not taking the time to do it. That's the first step. The second step, again, is considering who the customer is and what profile they fall into. We've talked about promoters, passives, and detractors, and tailoring that follow-up to each one of those people specifically. So for promoters, again, it's wanting to thank them for obviously you know taking the time to give you that feedback. Maybe drilling down more on you know what resonates with them the most. But ultimately, for the promoters group, it's about having an ask for a referral or recommendation or multiple. Again, we talked about the fact that only a small percentage of people who say that they're willing to recommend a brand or service actually do. So you need to have some way to encourage more of that. Give them a link to a page where they can, you know, trigger off some social shares of your products or service or your list. Give them a referral program that they can work with easily, or give them a page where they can drop in some email addresses for potential people who might use your service. For passives, this is one, again, I highlighted earlier, this is typically the low-hanging fruit, if you will, for a lot of companies. People who are satisfied, they're just not quite loyal. They don't feel that urge to recommend your brand. There's usually one or two things that people are doing or lacking that would keep them from becoming a promoter. So what we recommend our customers ask is, you know, what could we do essentially, what could we do to earn a 9 or 10, you know, the next time we do this survey? You don't want to phrase it and necessarily ask what could we do to earn your recommendation. We just want people to emotionally feel and kind of want to rate you kind of at the far end of the scale. So, again, drilling down, getting more and more, if you can, to the root cause so you can identify where to put your resources the most. Again, what can we do to get you to score some 9 or 10 on a future survey? And eventually you'll start to see some trends come out of that. And we do help you kind of measure what those are inside the app. And then detractors, this is really a situation where things have just gone wrong. You know, the initial follow-up really needs to be something apologetic from the company or the organization's end, and letting them know, being very frank, and getting some resources in there to solve for those problems in the first 24 to 48 hours. With detractors, it's less about a specific question that you ask and more about just getting engaged as soon as possible.
That makes total sense. It seems to me like so many startups don't even try to create these relationships with their customers, and this seems like such a natural, scientific, straightforward way. It's not a easy way. It takes a lot of work and effort to do it right. But it's also, it's like opening a door that you didn't have access to before. You get to pick the brains in ways that you know, as somebody who's tried to ask for feedback before, this way of asking for feedback not only is quantifiable, but it really, it opens the door to people to open them up to give you answers that you need to survive, to figure out how to achieve product market fit, to figure out how to get to the next stage of what's holding your idea back from widespread adoption. You know, it's a tool that is super cool, and Promoter is just a really interesting way to automate a lot of what used to take lots of headcount before. So how much does it cost? If before it cost a headcount, how much does it cost to get started with Promoter right now?
It simply comes down to the amount of customers that you have. We have plans that start as low as $49 a month and scale on up to several hundred. A fraction of what it would have otherwise cost.
That's great. So do you have any more NPS hacks that you can share? It seems like you already have this hack of making people who score well, encouraging them to start actively sharing your idea, your service. Do you have any other cool hacks that you can do with NPS?
Yeah, not necessarily a hack. I mean, really just best practice. The one thing that I will that we talk to a lot of our customers about, and we're adding some stuff to the platform that customers will be able to leverage later this year that makes this even easier. But one of the best practices right out of the gate is making sure that you're doing this on a consistent basis, kind of on a rolling basis. We see some customers, not just with our tool, but who try to do this even themselves, run big kind of batch surveys, if you will. They take half of their customers and they run a survey this month, and then they wait 6 months and they do it again, and they wait 6 months and they do it again. What that ends up with is giving you kind of a very isolated point in time score, and it makes it harder for you to do continuous, meaningful engagements with customers, especially if you have a larger number of people that you're reaching out to, because you get all the data back at once. So what we recommend for most companies, and it depends on the type of organization you are. If you're a subscription-based service, you ideally want to measure your customer score once per quarter. So you'll touch each customer with a survey once every 3 months. Segment something like your customer list into thirds, and do a survey on a monthly basis, on a monthly rolling basis. One third of your customers this month, one third the next month, one third the next month, and you kind of rinse and repeat, and you go through that process continuously. So you always have a steady stream of feedback. You spread out the load of doing those individual follow-ups over a period of time. And for companies who are more transactional in nature, like we have customers who are restaurants or dental offices, medical practices, contractors is a big market as well, you may just batch up your surveys and send them out something like 72 hours to a week after a key event, like a purchase or a office visit, things of that nature. But again, kind of spread it out so you're touching at least a segment of your customers on a monthly basis. And what I hinted to earlier is later this year, we'll make it very easy for you to either connect Promoter.io to a data source if you're using online platforms like CRM tools, billing systems, marketing platforms that house your customer data. We'll be able to connect to that and basically drip out your surveys over a period of time for you, so you don't have to even worry about building segments on your own. Or you can upload kind of a master list, if you will, and just say survey every customer once per quarter, and then we'll drip them out slowly over that period and then start over that process for you without you having to lift a finger.
Very neat. This is awesome work. Really, really exciting. Really appreciate spending some time to pick your brain and understand more about Net Promoter Score and how it can apply to things like CenturyLink and businesses in general. So I appreciate your time, Chad, and thank you for the opportunity.
Well, thank you for having me. It was exciting to be here.